Welcome back to Deadlands, Tales from the Shattered Coast. This is the second half to our first session of Steam, Steel, and Murder is taking a break, and in the meantime, I'm running this game for a change of pace. The two recordings that comprise our first session will be the only two in this Steam, Steel, and Murder feed. If you wish to continue to follow us, new feed information will be given here at a later date. We've got more World of Darkness games, some Trail of Cthulhu and Call of Cthulhu games, Invaders, Dragon Age, and many, many more recordings to tide you over until Steam, Steel, and Murder returns again. We appreciate your comments and emails, and as always, you can leave them for us at steamsteelmurder@gmail.com. All right, well, it looks like everybody's back, so let us plug along here. Okay, so you found this east-to-west passage, 20 feet below ground with a train track on it. Luke hears some movement on the beam, but can't really tell which direction, and it seems faint.
I would like to look at the hole that we came down, the sides of it, to see, like, is it... Did the earth just drop away and
got any kind of knowledge skill in geology or anything like that? If not, do a D4 minus 2.
Can I assist him in that? Because I'm interested in that.
Seven.
Okay, so you succeeded. Yeah, Sharon, if you don't have a specific knowledge skill with something like geology, D4 minus 2, but you still get your D6 wild die.
Okay.
Are you listening to this through speakers or headphones?
Headphones.
You're also coming through your speakers, probably. Because...
crap.
Okay. That's without the minus 2. But Gideon.
Mm-hmm.
You are able to see that it looks like it was a natural fault. It looks like it was a bit thinner in this one area, and it just collapsed, possibly because something had gone down through here, at least recently, that caused the cavern to shake a bit.
Okay. I am going to look at the sides now and to see if they are machine tooled or...
Oh, it's definitely machine tooled. It actually looks like it's bored. Like you would bore a rifle. The edges of the walls have kind of a swirl pattern, as if you would, you know, would take a bore and just ream out a tube. It's got a very concentric pattern.
That's amazing. Okay. I will blow this information and start to look exceedingly nervous. Like, oh. What did we just stumble into here? Because that's not good. Well, so, shall we
some sort of weird science or strange mechanical... Yeah,
those aren't the type of people you want to mess with.
Mole men or something.
Yeah. hopefully not that. Hopefully not that. But both. I assume we just haven't heard any rumors. So, all right, let's go to the west.
Okay. So you head down west. Once again, it's fairly, your lantern light doesn't show you the end of the cavern. It can just continue further.
Oh, I'm sorry, then east.
No, the east you can't go. It's blocked. So what I'm saying is that the western end is just, it just continues on for a bit. It's your lantern light, you know, you can't see the end of the tunnel. So you continue to proceed west, and you start hearing that little plinking sound. It's getting louder. And
I will have my shogun drawn at this point in time. And
oh, you haven't had that already?
Now, everyone's down here except for young John and Sarah. Is that correct? Or is Sarah down here as well?
I believe
Sarah is down there.
Okay, so just young John's at the top as you guys head off to the west. John, give me a notice roll.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You see them kind of disappear into the dark down the west as their lantern light starts to kind of recede into the distance.
About the time where you lose sight of the light, it becomes particularly dim, you feel a rumbling under your feet.
There's a cave in and you get new companions.
Ones who are less dumb.
Too late.
I will be shouting down in the, into the, see if they can hear me.
Okay, yeah, it's like a, like I said, like a really large echo chamber, so you can actually hear him pretty easily. What are you shouting down?
Whatever you're doing is making it angry.
All right, so this kind of echoes and reverberates down the chamber. And as you hear it, your light it shines on something, you know, just several, your lamp light goes, what, 20, 30 feet or so? So just at the very edge of your light, you see something that looks like an oversized pot-bellied stove off to the side of the track. And it, it's kind of swiveling back and forth. It's kind of hard to make anything else out. It's at the very extreme range of your light.
Hmm. Swinging back and forth, is it like side to side or is it front and back?
Side to side.
No. Onwards.
And that seems to be what's been making the sound. It's kind of a grinding, whirring sound as it moves side to side.
Onwards.
I will shout back. Could you give me some further definition on angry?
All right, you shout that. Once again, it echoes back and forth, quite loud, actually. You continue forward there, Luke, and in your lantern light, what looked like a kind of a, it still kind of looks like a large pot-bellied stove, but that pot-bellied stove appears to have a Gatling gun firmly attached to its side and a large claw-like pincer on the other side. Make me just a general knowledge roll. You have, you do repair and, do you do any mad science sort of stuff?
No, I've got no mad science skill.
Okay, just a normal, it's not a, D4 minus 2, just a normal smarts roll, regular.
Nope.
Okay, yeah.
Critical failure.
No idea what it is. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, does it appear to be like rotating slightly backwards and forwards type situation, or was it more that it was actually facing the wall, doing something at the wall?
Nope, it looks like it's just rotating back and forward. And actually, as your light hits it, it kind of its rotation turns a bit more sharply, so that it's kind of more facing you now. And you see that it has arms and a shoulder. It looks sort of like a mechanical man, at least from the waist up. The legs are looks like it might be mounted into some post or something else, and it kind of points in your direction. It doesn't really, you know, it pauses for a moment, and then it goes back to moving right and left. Just kind of doing the like a twist at the waist. About this time, John at the top, reverberations get a bit stronger, and then all of you down below, there is an explosive sound coming back up the corridor towards the east. John, from above, what you see is there's a lot of rock and debris and dust that's just kind of sucked out of the cavern, so out into the night air. Little bits of shrapnel, little bits of rock and smoke. Give me an athletics roll.
Agility?
Sorry, agility. Agility roll. Right. Actually, if you have the skill, let's see.
Dodge. There's no dodge.
No, just go ahead and do an agility roll.
All right. I will try to shout over the explosion, but I don't...
There's an explosion!
Yeah.
Okay, no, you're fine. You kind of are able to roll away from the big explosive chunks of rock that start raining around you. You guys down inside the passage, you hear the rumbling and you hear the explosion, but it really doesn't affect anything else. It's really quick, and it's just still. The rest of the cavern doesn't collapse on you. The ceiling actually looks to be very stable out here.
So there's not bits of ceiling falling down or dust trickling down?
Not at all. Actually, you don't even get the dust.
Okay. I'll be looking around nervously anyway.
Right.
I look at them, given that happened. I turn around and look. Do I see the machine?
Yeah, you see the machine. It's in Luke's light. You can see it at the... It doesn't seem to have registered any difference. It's just going back to twisting right to left, right to left.
Okay, so clearly it's some sort of century, and it's looking for something. Unfortunately, none of us are smart enough to break, crack the thing and see what it is. Okay.
Well, as you're thinking this, there is, your eyes are hurt a bit as the darkness of the cave is illuminated with a very intense bright light. And now you can all kind of feel the vibration in the rail track as something seems to be moving along it in your direction.
Diving, running off the track.
Yeah, off the track.
Hugging the floor against the wall.
Yeah, totally off the track.
All right.
Something's coming.
All right, everybody dives to the side.
I'm not crouching against the wall. I'm just going back to the wall so I can look at what's coming.
Same here.
Mm-hmm. And pretty quickly,
I'll get my hands over my head.
It's an engine, a train engine, goes roaring past, and it's carrying two flatbed trailers with it. It's got basically rail tie, you know, the iron bar, some wood blocks, and looks like a bunch of equipment. And it's just chugging along the track, going towards the west, the direction you guys were walking.
Is it slipping past, or is it just sort of slowly going along?
It's going at a pretty good clip, not at a full steam, though. You definitely didn't want to be in front of it. It could not have braked in time if you were on the track.
Can I jump on the side of it?
Yeah, if you want to try, give me an agility roll.
Well, we get a non-Canadian person as our teammate. Yay! Oh my god.
The flatbeds that it's trailing behind are low enough that you just take a running jump and you actually land in the back and carried off down the tunnel.
Wow. And we never saw him again. I will be looking for some sort of marking on the side of the train.
As it's going by, notice roll.
I will spend a red chip to get a decent on this.
Ooh, a red chip. Ooh. Okay.
Yep. I get 5.
You actually do notice the sigil on the side of the main engine is for the Wasatch. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Wasatch rail line.
Oh, our guy. I thought he withdrew from the rail horn.
Yeah, the last you had heard, there was no official announcement of Hellstrom revoking his efforts, but he had just been quiet for months.
Oh, I guess we see what Hellstrom is up to. I really don't want to tangle with Hellstrom.
What do you want about?
Hellstrom. Hellstrom is the famous inventor in Salt Lake City. He created the City of Gloom, one of the foremost inventors of our time and era. He owns a railroad company called Washedak, and they have been quiet and stopped really competing in the railroad wars.
Those for you who don't know, the rail wars, basically, there's a prize for the first company that can basically connect the coasts. What's not really the United States anymore, but from east to west, connecting both sides. And there's a race going on because there's quite a bit of money involved for the first person that can do it.
Is there any good?
Yeah.
This probably, if we could go down this railroad track, we could probably get to where we're going a hell of a lot quicker. However, this is probably not places where we're meant to be. I don't know if we'll ever see Luke again. Hellstrom is not someone you tangle with. He's feared. Feared and respected. But mostly the feared.
You don't have to make a common knowledge roll for it, just because his name is very prolific with newfangled scientific gadgets. He's right behind the Smith and Robards guys for being the most famous. In particular, he's most famous for his automatons. Anybody can make a mechanical man with gears and cogs that can perform basic functions, but Hellstrom's automatons are known to be able to think. They can rationalize. They can. They have more than just a small amount of consciousness, it seems, and no one's been able to duplicate this.
Think Tesla, but kind of evil.
It's not really evil. Sorry, he's driven.
Yes, yes. Not someone. Yeah, think the Tesla from our universe of SSM. Not necessarily the type of gentleman you want to show up on his secret project and say, "Oh yeah, that I know all about that."
So, how are you guys reacting to this? The train just whizzed by, and Luke has jumped onto the back.
Well, we can't abandon Luke.
On the other hand.
That thing has a Gatling gun.
Yes, but it doesn't appear to work. Yeah,
well, I can't say anything.
No, you can't. But it does not appear to have marked us as a threat, otherwise I suspect it would have opened fire on us by now.
Yes, I agree with that particular assessment.
And it's gone back to its sentry patrolling, whatever the hell you call it, mode.
Yeah, standby.
Yeah, the fact it looked at us and then went back to being whatever its protocols are, it doesn't...
Yeah, makes me think that there's something down here that is not human. And...
I don't know, whether or not because we're not, who knows, maybe because we're not Indian or because, yes, some sort of supernatural creature.
Yeah, I would bet on the latter.
Young John! Young John, yes, you caught the headlights rushing down the passage and the smoke is cleared. You doing anything special up top?
Are you safe. Still alive down there?
We could use some backup if you don't mind. If you can find it in yourself to come down here.
The way to the east appears to be clear now as well.
We've lost Luke, and we need
Luke
to get him
to the
back.
West. We need to try and find him. Hopefully there's a stop in the distance or some such.
Yeah. We can probably... Let's come on down and we'll... Hopefully not be down here too long.
All right. Just looking to the west, following their tracks, the underground tracks, I don't see any like steam coming up from the ground as it goes along. Or there's no visible passage of it up above. Is there?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
All right. Following the track, looking west along what would be the underground track, there's no like regular holes which suddenly puff steam out of them or anything like that that I can see up here.
Oh, no, not at all.
No, okay. I climb down the hole and see.
Okay.
See what I can see.
Yeah, and you can see that the eastern passage, they had it had blown a hole through to allow the train to pass. And, yeah, you can see the light of your friends and their lanterns down towards the west.
And there's no light coming from the east either. There's not another train coming.
No. Just a big yawning black hole to the east.
I head quickly towards the safety of the light. Friends up.
All right. So you guys are all together. The train has just whizzed past you. And Luke is gone. So what's now? What next?
I walk up to the metal man.
Excuse me, Mr. Automatron. Can you understand us?
Yeah, that's
good. Sure. It when you approach it, it kind of swings in your direction. It hovers for a moment with its malicious-looking Gatling gun and oh-so-deadly-looking claw, and then it seems to ignore you and goes back to twisting. It's kind of scanning the tunnel up and down, up and down. It seems to have tagged you as no threat.
I do not want to.
It does not respond to you speaking to it either.
Okay. Well, I guess we ignore it and keep going.
I wonder if I could touch it and get it alive.
Yeah, probably best not to poke it.
No, I wonder if I can touch it and speak a language.
I see what you're trying to do. Yeah, then I should provoke it.
Let us...
Yeah, it has a big old Gatling gun. It's scary. Let's go.
And a large clamping claw.
Yeah, I noticed that.
The sooner we do this, the sooner we can be out again.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Let's go!
Okay, so you guys continue on down through the west, and pretty soon you see in the lantern light actually soon becomes not as useful as you see that there is quite a few lights down further in the tunnel that have been strung up, enough that you see that the train has come to a stop, you know, about 50 yards further ahead. And there are some men that now seem to be loading and unloading the bits on the back of the train. And several of them, they've heading towards you. One guy A little bit larger, more gruff than the rest in the front, six more men behind, and they call out down the tunnel. And, oi, you there!
Good evening.
Come into the light.
Okay, I will sling my weapon.
Why?
Well, we'd like to see who we're talking to.
Certainly.
Yeah, I sling my weapon and
I'll sling my rifle.
Once you got through the crevice in the ceiling, the ceiling is pretty much one solid piece. There's no more exits to the outside that you have seen.
I will say, we find ourselves strangers in a strange land.
The guy in front, he does have a pistol at his waist, but he's got his hands, free, so you can see that he's not, overtly armed. The guys behind him, a lot of them are hoisting pipe wrenches and bits of metal and stuff. They look like a fairly tough bunch, but not uncommon for normal rail workers. The guy in the lead says, Bill Buckner, who might you be?
Gideon Stewart. Stewart.
Zane Bennett, we're representatives of the Van Dorn Detective Agency. Not that that's why we're actually here, but...
Yes, we're here because of complete happenstance, and our friend has gone missing.
Ah, I think we got your friend back here.
Oh, good.
Come on back. It's unfortunate happenstance, I'm afraid to say, but that's all right. We can work things out. Come on, boys. They look like they might be all right.
Also, hey, how you doing? Nice train you've got here.
As you can hear Luke talking to some of the other rail workers now in the background.
There appears to be a sinkhole about a mile back or so.
Oh, is that how you got down here? Yeah.
Yeah.
He scratches the hair on his chin. It's just, he's got this bright, kind of bright red beard to him. And it's like, I have to send some guys up to fix that. We don't want anyone else coming down here. We're so close. So close.
Yeah, you might want to do that quick, fast, in a hurry. Because we did we did telegraph back that there was a massive sinkhole. And that was why the last train crashed.
Yeah, how long ago?
6-7 hours.
Okay. All right. I think we're good. Come on, folks. How many of you are there anyway? He starts looking at everybody. Says, Van Dorn's, huh? Y'all are for hire, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, he tosses a bag at your feet. You hear a kind of clink of coin. I hereby hire you.
Excellent. I pick up the bag and I, for what do you hire us for?
Don't matter. We'll find something for you to do. We just got to keep you down here until we make the rails connect, you know. Can't rightly let you go just yet.
How long is that going
to be? Oh, real soon now. A couple of days. We're real close. He's got a big smile on his face.
Do you have...
Not as long as you're paying.
If you're going to attend to the sinkhole, we have some equipment back there that we're not lugging around with us. We intended to go back there.
All right.
If you wish us to stay down here with you.
Well, I'll send my men up to get it. You just tell me what it is you need. Expect that we would like a more fruitful relationship between one another. But you got to understand, we can't let word of this get out. We're so close. You all are going to be witnesses to history.
Certainly. We understand the circumstances.
Luke. Damn it, Luke! y'all wouldn't happen to know a Lacey O'Malley, would you?
He looks at you kind of sharp. He looks at you very sharp. He says, Van Dorn, son, were you by any chance already on an investigation? How do you know Mally's here?
Oh, excellent. Way to go, Luke.
Happenstance, I think.
He's scratching his beard. That's a little bit more happenstance than I'd like for one day. That's all right. We'll let the boss man sort it out. Come on, y'all. We got some vittles over this way. You look like you haven't eaten well a bit. It's getting cold, too.
The boss man wouldn't be... Who would the boss man be?
He's got the big smile again. You can actually see he's got a gold filling on one of his teeth now. He's like...
Is it not so much at this point smiling as just showing us his teeth?
Pretty much. Baring his teeth. Well, we got us some privileged people here, I tell you. Privileged people. Come on, we'll set up a meeting for you.
Tempted to quit.
What about the The prophet. Please tell me he is here. Or is it just Helmstrom?
It's like, he nods at that. Yep, just the man himself. I'm afraid that if you're one of the faithful, your leader don't leave Salt Lake very much.
No, but I was hoping that... Gosh.
Now, come on now, just tell me what you need up front. We'll send some men out to get anything you need.
Well, I will describe my package and then the...
And tell them about your equipment. That's even better, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it really doesn't matter at this point in time. If we're doomed, if we're doomed, we are in Helmstorm's. Oh, no.
Who took the bag that he tossed forward?
Nick did.
Yeah, I did.
All right, Nick. Well, there's several different gold coins in there, minted different places, but metal coin works a lot better than paper money. So unless you want to take the time to count it, it's a fair amount.
I'm not going to count it in front of them. That would be not the kidnapping us is much better, but...
No, if we just found Lacey, then hey, job done.
Yeah,
we're on to our next job.
Which happens to be Boys of the Bay. So
my friend here does not quite like the tunnels. Would it be possible? Well, we'll discuss this with the big man. Please lead the way.
Were you going to say something, Richard?
I was wondering if I could somehow persuade them that I should go back with them to the top to find whatever we need to find.
Well, actually, you don't have to persuade them. If you're the only one offering, he says, well, it might be quicker if you can point these things out to my men. Was anybody injured up there, by the way? Anybody, he kind of pauses for a minute as if to make this sound not quite so bad. Anybody still alive that maybe we need to get some care to?
Unfortunately, no.
Your accident killed many people.
Yep. As it happened, the only one left alive were the PCs.
Young. I will pull Young to the side and say...
Not so much the accident, but the Indians.
I know that benefited
from the accident.
I know that you don't like, you know, caves and whatnot. If you can find it within you to come, you know, not to run off, but to come back, I will try to negotiate so that you can be under the sky and not cooped up in a cave. I will try my hardest to, I'm not supposed to swear. Anyways, I will try my hardest, so that you can not be cooped up. But I would ask that you bear with me, for a little bit.
Say no, shoot him and leave.
Yes.
Alright, I appreciate it. I will try to make sure that your trust is well placed. Alright!
So, does that mean that John Young does go back up to the surface, or not?
Yes, I do go back up to the surface.
Alright.
Point out all the things. I take as long
try to do something nice for the horses.
Alright, well, he sends four guys with you, and they take basically one of the little rail platforms that two guys can operate with a little handle thing in the middle, like the teeter-totter thing, just in, you know, to carry all the gear back. Meanwhile, the rest of you are taken a little further up the track. You see what was going on as they were making, they're extending out a track here, and they got new tires to do this. But sitting up ahead, there is another train engine ahead with a very fancy car. And Buckner leads you guys towards this, and he nods at there's two really grim-looking guards at the rear of this caboose. Both of them are armed with Gatling shotguns. One of them knocks some sort of code on the caboose door. It's like a couple of pauses and a couple of longer pauses, you know, with a little shave and a haircut sort of thing. Tap, tap, tap. You don't hear anything inside there's a lot of noise in this tunnel. Actually, there's the closer you get or further back in this tunnel you get, there is a really loud racket further on. It's kind of a grinding, chewing sound. You step to the rear of the platform, and the door is open. One of the guards opens it and nods you all in, and you are let into the most luxurious rail car you've ever seen. The walls are carpeted with rich red velvet panels inserted to cherry wood, brass fixtures and handrails add contrast, and there's a short dining table set up to look There's all kinds of silver and cups, goblets, glasses, that sort of thing, fine crystal. And what really captures your attention, though, there are two figures seated in plush chairs at the other end of the car. One is very similar to the photo you have of Lacey O'Malley. Remember, yours is from 10 years ago. But he is wearing his trademark white suit and a hat. Though from here, even by the flickering candlelight, you can see it's seen better days. He smiles kind of amiably and kind of tips his hat at you. The other figure sits back in his chair with a clipboard in his hand. He's wearing a scarlet smoking jacket and puffs on a pipe. His face is a little hidden in the shadows, but he leaned forward and his piercing gray eyes emerge from the darkness. And you, especially there, Gideon, know the countenance of Dr. Darius Hellstrom.
How I hope he doesn't know me. How I hope.
Hellstrom. What was that, Sharon?
Oh, nothing.
So Hellstrom lights his pipe and he takes a look at the condition you're all in and he says, "Ah, welcome, travelers. What brings you to our little expedition here?"
Train crash and Indian attack.
Curiosity.
Well, seems I've already got a crew patching that hole. Come on in. Have some dinner with us.
Thank you. You're most kind.
Indeed.
Certainly. Buckner comes in and sets out some more chairs and some more plates for everybody and leaves himself with just you guys, O'Malley and Hellstrom.
I must congratulate you on your ploy. I have no doubt that it will be dramatic, stunning, and signature Hellstrom all over.
Yes, with Mr. O'Malley's help here, I'm sure you all read the article last year where it was believed that I dropped out of the race. As you can see, nothing could be further from the truth.
Yes, yes, it's...
Yes, nice train you have here. Must get up quite a speed without anyone else around.
Yes, yes, some of my own inventions, and with my patented rock-boring device, we can soon hope to achieve what has so far been unachievable. By my estimation, we should be emerging in California in a few days' time. There, we'll link with my existing lines and roll into the city of Los Angeles by high noon in 2 days.
Very nice.
Excellent.
I hope it goes well for you.
You will, of course, accompany me on this historic occasion and witness an epic moment in history as my guests.
You are most kind.
Does he have cigars or something out that we could partake of?
There's pipe tobacco. If you've got your own pipe, go right ahead.
He's smoking, isn't he?
Yes.
Don't have a pipe.
You can roll a cigarette. Using pipe tobacco. Might be a little harsh. Did you guys get the picture of Hellstrom?
Yeah.
Nope. Well, in the fact that I got the fact that there was an image there to knock it, yes.
Somebody working away in a lab.
Yeah. So, what the automaton noticed that he was posted as a sentry. However, he did not notice human, or he did not at least notice our particular movement and react to it.
Well, I can't very well going injuring, you know, innocent people that happen upon my expedition here. Now, can I? And, there's a sly look over at O'Malley that some of you catch. No, it's programmed to keep us safe from other hazards.
Do you mind? We are all gentlemen and a lady who are knowledgeable, perhaps is the wrong word to put it. We are aware of, at least, of the unseen world and its impact.
Are you kidding me? All right.
Well,
good.
It's too late now. Go for it.
So do you mind being a little bit more frank about what the dangers that lie down here?
Well, I suppose, if you, truly have had experience, as you say, are you familiar with Mr. O'Malley's writings?
A little bit.
Say yes.
You're here.
Well then, Mr. O'Malley has, had the, privileged to see some other strange and odd creatures down here as we have extended our line. It's not something that I have expressly tried to, you know, to quantify, but there are odd reptilian creatures down here that occasionally have a fondness to attack. The sentries are here to keep my workers safe as we finish our line. And as he says this, we will go down the cavern to the other end where Mr. John Young and... All right, just a second here.
Oh, good.
Watch everybody get attacked.
Mm-hmm.
Cowering them.
Yeah, as you guys are heading back up to the surface, well, give me a notice roll there, Mr. John Young.
Nope. Oh, you can't. I'm trying? Fix them.
Wow.
No, I've got it. It's claustrophobia.
Ah, right.
Okay. Well, then, you are taken by surprise then as you approach the area where there is a hole in the roof and you prepare to climb up the rope. And the only warning you have is there's a quick intake of breath and a hissing sound. And from out of the darkness, some shapes barrel into you and the Wasatch Railroad workers. And let me see if they make... Let's see if they make their... their rolls here. If they don't, well, that could be bad. Let's see. Lotus roll. Oh, wow. No. Okay. So only you are taken by surprise. So yes, you are, you'll have to, take the first round here, out as, you are, caught, by surprise and, Wasatch Rail, guys kind of, are assaulted by you scritters. So let's see here. Let's deal everybody out. You will, as I said, lose this round, but the tunnel critters look like they go first. Unfortunate. Unfortunate. As they will. Actually, they're not all that bad. Well, miss. Oh, they're horrible, actually.
Woohoo!
All right, let's see how the Wasatch guys do. Four of them. Yeah, they're able to basically fight them off to a standstill. One of them, yells out a warning to you though, John, says, don't let them bite you! They'll paralyze you! They're poisonous!
Actually, I just said them, I picture them sort of just slap fighting each other badly. Okay,
so the Wasatch guys have
You're
an
not
ace.
Convincing
they'll go
me
first.
To stay down here.
Oh wow, one of them did really well. Let's see, one, two, three of them hit, one of them with a raise. Let's see. One, two. All right. Yeah, there's some crunching as their lead pipes and wrenches seem to make contact with these lizards, which you haven't quite seen yet. They're kind of darting in and out through the darkness, trying to keep out of view. And it's your turn, John.
How far away are we from the actual...
You're right below the hole.
Oh, right, good. Right below it. Don't venture outside of below the hole bit. Mm-hmm. It gives me small comfort anyway. I can't see any of them.
You can hear them and you can make them out shadow-wise, so you can still attack one of them. They're going to be minus two just for the cover of somewhat darkness there.
No, I draw a weapon this round. Okay. Produce my Psi. That's what I'm choosing. Yes, that as well. It deals existential damage.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you had a weapon, it could do something like that.
Oh, wow, these guys are bad. Okay, they continue. Yeah, they continue fighting along with the rail guys. Since you're standing in the light, the rail guys are kind of off to the edges. You're the one, like, in full open air, although it's dark out there. The fire still provides some flickering light. They seem to be hesitant to get into full light. And you have the first action.
I dart into the shadows to attack one, and then dart back out again. Or not, because I want to stay there.
Sure, that's fine.
Negative two, you said, because of the darkness?
No, you can always move at your own at pace, so you can move part of your pace and then part
no,
back.
No, that's negative two because of the darkness.
If you step into the darkness, not so much. I mean, you can see them once you're out of the flickering light. As long as you're not in light.
Oh,
you can
okay.
See them just fine.
I see what you're getting at. Okay. All right, then, yeah, I go into the darkness and try and go back out.
Yep.
Again.
They resemble, long, kind of thick snakes, but they have feet. They have, four or two legs and two arms, perhaps. Lizards of some sort.
Do I need to make a guts roll?
No. They just look like overgrown lizards. There's nothing really
too all right, scary okay. about then them. I try and hit one with my Sias.
Go for it. Tough is 5. Oh, parry is 4.
Nope, not with a not miss there.
All right. You miss. You have now made yourself something of a target. Let's see. Two of them are going to attempt to strike out at you after you've stepped back into the light. Oh, one of them did hit you.
Neither of
what is your parry? What is
my
your parry?
My parry is 6.
Oh, yeah, no, they both missed. And then the other two are just going to snack on some conductor guys and miss. Yep, and the conductors, 2, 3, 4. Not conductors, rail guys, I should say. Wow, 2 hit.
Punch.
Yep, you hear some crunching and some skittering in the darkness, and you seem to be left alone again. One of the rail workers is checking around. Anyone get bit? You there, Chinaman, did it bite you?
No. How would somebody answer if they had been bit?
Well, it's usually gurgling.
Ah. These are interesting times.
Mm. And, well, they continue on. They seem to take this in stride like it happens often. If you have any questions, you can ask them, but they seem to be very nonchalant about it after making sure.
I'm interested in getting out this one.
All right. So you guys go back to the surface. Meanwhile, in the dining car, so you've got, looks like each of you is presented with a small roasted bird, maybe quail, side of vegetables, and what looks like to be a fine brandy. It's a little tight around the small table, but it's fine dining. Fine dining.
It's drowned in gravy, badly.
Munchy, munchy.
Is this? I will wave off the brandy, and I will ask them: is this prepared properly?
Of course.
I am one of the flock.
Yes, it is suitable for you, of course. The brandy is not. And actually, you know, it's full well known that Hellstrom is not a member of the flock either. He's just afforded certain,
He is publicly,
Well, he abides by the law while in Salt Lake, but while he's not in Salt Lake.
Yeah, he's free to partake of the finer things that's in right. life. Unbelievable.
Devastate. Wow. You realize you need to take him out, right?
I just look. What? I'm not. Okay.
thank you.
Are you talking to us, Sharon, or are you talking to other people? Because we can't hear you.
Really can't hear
I'm sorry. You didn't hear me. I said you need to take him out. And I thought Nick responded.
Okay, yeah, okay, you were talking to us. All right.
I said, I will go in and ask him some details. You know, bipedal, quadrupedal. What you know, habits.
I find them dreary and very uninteresting. No cogs, no electricity. It's simply beneath me. Mr. O'Malley here, I'm sure, could enlighten you, but. I'm tired. I'm sure the rest of you are tired. I will find suitable accommodations for you. I believe that my foreman has come to an arrangement with you. Mm-hmm. You will be joining us for the next few days.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Our current case has been completed successfully. I say nodding to Mr. O'Mallory.
Mm. Yes. Mr. O'Mallory, if you do not mind staying... or being willing to speak with us a little bit afterwards. We have some questions for you.
Certainly. And he pulls himself a large dash of brandy there. Nice, still young, and it seems you have tales to tell. He stands and bids Hellstrom a good evening. And he says, Bill will take care of your arrangements. Just find him or one of his men when you leave, and we'll find something suitable for you all.
Thank you, sir.
Glad to have you all aboard. He smiles.
Mm-hmm. He beats his teeth. Yeah.
Yes, the warmth does not reach his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and you guys are left in the very sumptuous car with Mr. O'Malley.
The soon-to-be-dead Mr. O'Malley.
What?
What?
You didn't see the hindrance psychopathic killer on her sheet?
Yeah. I don't kill anybody. Nada. I don't.
Just no it's one that just, expects it. That's why she had problems with the Indians. They expected to die. What fun's that?
Oh, crap.
So, Mr. O'Malley, we were dispatched from the Van Dorn Detective Agency.
So you said.
What?
No, so you
said. I said background sharpening my knife.
Okay. And we were dispatched actually to find you.
Oh, and what does Mr. Van Dorn need with me? He looks a little uneasy at this.
Merely the most essential thing to any human life. Answers. We all seek answers.
Again, until you said the word answer, his hand was creeping into his vest.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, answers. Answers I can give.
Yeah. And
I'll give him, give him my best fake smile.
And we are fellow travelers, if you will. However, we are a little bit more in the dark than you seem to be. We would like you to pass some of your illumination over to us so that we might better perceive our surroundings.
He lights his pipe and, make sure not to blow it in your face as you've, seem to have a disdain for it, but he says, well, that's problematic. You realize there's a reason why we don't just go telling everyone, these answers that you're looking for. It makes a difference, in a very subtle way.
Do go on.
He puts out his pipe and says, no, I don't believe I will just yet. I don't know you all, and sure. Though your credentials are, worthy, I have a lot of respect for, the Van Dorn men, but I don't know your character. I don't know what kind of men and lady, that you are, and,
fair enough.
We'll see. We have a few days in each other's company, it seems, and over that time, perhaps I'll learn enough about you that, I can share this information that you're looking for.
I tip my glass of water to him, and say, never do anything for just one reason. It is nice to get a story as well as ensure the quality of our particular characters.
Of course, that's why I'm here. Mr. Hedstrom wasn't lying when he says this is the beginning of a historic moment.
Well, may we be able to fill the back pages of your particular paper?
Quite possibly. Will you all join me in a drink? Well, except for...
Certainly.
Except for you, sir.
I appreciate you.
And, basically for as long as the rest of you remain partial to talk, he tells some story about his travels. He leaves out any particular information about strange things that he's seen, other than just to make allusions to them, that there are many strange things that have been occurring, and it seems to be worse from town to town. It seems also that once it gets bad in a particular area, it just keeps on getting bad. It seems the more fear, the more discomfort is sown in a town or city, just the more it grows and it spreads. Kind of like a sickness.
A reciprocal negative feedback loop. Interesting.
Didn't take you the type to take to gogs and to cogs and gears and such.
I do live in the shadow of Hellstorm, sir. All of us know something.
Did anybody have any particular questions they want to ask of O'Malley before you're seen to your accommodations?
Just out of curiosity, were you invited here by Mr. Hellstrom, or did you come seeking him and to see what he was up to? I was just curious as to how you got yourself into this location.
Well, he sought me out about a year ago, wanting me to plant a story that he had dropped out of the race, and being the newsman that I am, I can't rightly lie about a story, but if you know it, I never really said he dropped out. I just made certain suggestions that he'd gone missing, and in comps for my writing that particular article. He's allowed me to journey with him for this last year. It's been particularly enlightening.
I can imagine.
The creatures that are around here, type, description, habits.
Most of what I've seen in these tunnels are, you know, they're lizards, snakes, perhaps, certainly from that family. They seem to have appendages, though, quite agile, smart enough that they can open a door or turn a gear. Their bite's something nasty, though. It'll paralyze you easily enough. And once you're paralyzed, the particular breeding cycles, they lay eggs in you. Over the course of the next few days, lovely. If it's not caught, they'll hatch, and children will tend to eat the host.
Snakes with legs, like bee snake?
That sounds really scary.
Well, not the snake. Not biblically so, but... is John coming back in after this experience?
Eventually, yes, but I will be taking as long as possible to find all of the stuff that I need. Oh, if we could just find this one more thing, I'm sure. Perfect.
Well, the four men with you actually seem to be enjoying being out in the air. Some snippets of conversation you're hearing. They assume that you don't actually speak English well, just because you're a Chinaman.
He doesn't have the outside edge.
Right, but he's a Chinaman. That is the... Right. So they do talk kind of openly around you, and it appears that they've been underground for a while, and they haven't had a lot of opportunity to stretch their legs outside. So they're all taking their time as well, breathing in the air, and some of them go and do some collecting about the train. They're not going over bodies. Of course, you've taken care of all the bodies except for the Indians. But they do check out the wreckage of the train to seeing if there's any parts that can be salvaged, that sort of thing.
I look at the horses and then look back at the men, I guess. I try and bring them over.
Right. Well, suppose if we could get some kind of harness, we can bring them down, but might be just as kind to let them go. Are they yours? I'm sorry. And he gets down so that he's right in your face, and he talks loudly and slowly. Are one of these yours?
I nod my head.
Right then. I guess the rest of your belong to your friends. We'll find a way to get them down. They start. Talking about making some kind of pulley and rope system to get them down.
Well, talking about it, I unhobble the horses and let them roam. I'll let them go rather than forcing them to go down into the dark cave. At least some of us should not be forced to go down.
All right. Well, once you let them go, they start making noises about, what's that crazy Chinaman doing? Yeah. All right, so, yeah, eventually I guess you will get tired of the delaying and go back into the dark, dark cavern, in which you may very well be entombed.
I will ask them how often, and then make the lizardy noises, trying to maintain my non-speaking status.
Well, once again, they talk loudly and slowly. Not often. Usually if we... Once we start construction, they're drawn in by the sound, likely the vibrations. Once we get a move on, we'll be fine.
All right, go back in after that. I've got no other things to do up here, right?
Okay, so if no one else has any more questions for O'Malley, basically you're all seen to, there's some more private cars that they attach to the back of Hellstrom's, and they're all very nice cars. Each one will sleep four people, but they'll string two cars together so you guys can divide it up however you wish.
Yeah,
they're private cars, so they actually lock on the inside. If you wish to lock your doors, you can.
Yeah.
Just find out we're likely to move during the night or rest time.
No, they're going to work through the night. They got some more track to lay sometime. He looks at a pocket watch. Sometime tomorrow, mid-morning, we'll get a move on again. We're hoping 2 days. We're trying to do this in 2 days to California.
Are there, ways that people can get up? I have a companion who does not like being underneath the surface. He is a man of honor and respect. At the same time, he doesn't want to be below the surface and would like to be above as much as he can. Is there any possibility?
You're still talking to O'Malley, and O'Malley says to you quite frankly and says, you realize what Hellstrom's trying to do here. If word gets out, there's lots of people that like to stop him, and we're still 2 days out. That could still happen. I don't think he's going to take too kindly to letting anyone that's seen the operation go.
Well, not go, but take a walk every once in a while under the sky.
Yeah, we got certain waypoints that we can stop at for that. We got to take on water and provisions now and then as well. Mostly the water for the engines.
Okay.
I'm sure we could manage to give him a job that'll get him up to the surface.
Yeah, if you could, I know you have his ear more than we do. If you could bring that up, he and I would be grateful.
Well, I'll see what I can do for your friend.
Thank you.
He gets up a little unsteadily. He drinks several shots of the liquor. He says, well, it's the bed for me. See you folks in the morning, and I'd keep the windows in the car down. We don't often get those lizards in when it's quiet, but best to be safe.
Okay. All right.
Did anyone else have anything at all to say to O'Malley before he turns into the night?
Good evening, sir. I was drinking heavily to help with sleeping.
I see. Make me a stamina roll. Or vigor. Vigor roll, vigor? Sorry. Ah, no problem. You're blind drunk.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm not playing babysitter. Yeah.
I just wanted to. He doesn't want to talk about that thing, so never mind. Nope.
Yeah, maybe later once we've got some numbers up more.
Yeah.
All right. And I think I'll end it there for tonight. That's a good good start. We'll press on to California next episode.
Are we likely to get an advance every 2 or 3 games or longer? Or?
Average at every 2 games, you'll get an advance.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you 2 experience for this one. And you need every 5 gives you an advance. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Sorry if this was a little slow starting this one. I wanted to start out. Starts off with a combat, so we can figure out how that works a little bit. And then we're setting up the personalities and kind of the beginning of the story.
Brilliantly, I just shot everyone.
Hellstorm.
I am going from the published adventure, The Flood. I am going to make maybe a few changes here and there where I think that... Like, I was really hesitant to put Hellstrom and O'Malley in front of you guys, to be honest. Because that's like one of the things that you never do is put key NPCs in front of players just because, you know, they're tempted to try and kill them. Yeah.
I'm glad you trusted us not to do such things.
Although I wasn't too sure where Sharon was. I don't know what they mean.
Wasn't too sure where Sharon was going with some of his comments.
All right. Someone
who came across such a peaceful and non-violent woman.
So type in 2 XP. If you look at your character sheets on the main frame, on the top right, there's an X. Yeah, there you go. Type in your XP there.
I am surprised that the adventure does throw you in with Hellstorm.
Yep. You meet him, and then he goes away, but he's kind of like the beginnings of a larger plot, and then... Yeah, I thought that was dangerous looking at it. It's like, oh. Well, I will say if you did try to attack him, I doubt anybody would have lived. But even so, it goes against my natural instinct to put, you know, top tier NPCs right in front of PCs like that.
Well, you get us make Tesla. That was fine.
Yeah, I'm not too sure why we would attack him.
Hmm.
Because you're underground and crazy from it now.
Just like, it's just for the same reason, you never give God stats in any game system, because a player will try to figure out how to kill them because they have stats, and by gosh, that means they can be killed.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I deleted my case. I'm just going to re-download and see if it fixes things.
Okay,
otherwise,
cool.
It'll completely reinstall.
You might want to check on the Fantasy Grounds board on their forums. They've got the House of Healings. You might want to just drop a message asking if anyone's having problems with Fantasy Grounds and Vista. Because if they are, they may give you specific things that you can try and do. I know it works fine under XP, Windows 7, and even under Linux and Mac. There's like no problem that I've seen. Sharon, I think yours is mostly a connection issue because of the the voice and feedback we're getting and how long it took for some of the stuff to load.
Did we lose the shirt? No,
she's still there. And I'm not exactly sure why we're getting feedback. I mean, if you don't have your speakers running and just using headphones, we shouldn't be feeding back through yours.
Nope, I'm here.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Hello.
Shit.
No, we can hear you. No, we're yes, here, we're here.
Probably but can Sharon hear us now?
Oh, she may not be able to.
Yeah.
Yes, I can. I can always hear. That's the whole problem. I can hear everyone. No one can hear me half the time.
So are you at your home? Are you, with due to the wedding, off at a hotel room somewhere?
Oh, I'm stuck in the den somewhere in the wedding.
Oh.
They're all getting very, very silly outside. I'm very, very curious what's going on.
Well, before we sign off, then, any comments? Once again, yes, this one was a little slow to begin with. But it's kind of just laying down the tracks. Ha, pun.
almost like we were being railroaded.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what you were hinting at?
Just a little bit, just a little bit.
I wasn't sure what was going to happen if Mr. John there decided that his phobia wasn't going to allow him to go down at all.
Yeah, I did wonder about that. I mean,
yeah, that's why I decided to go down and not just say, nope, sorry, I'm not going in there.
Yes. I had a backup. They may have left you because they know that there's another train coming in 24 hours. Assuming they felt they could trust you, they could have left you. To basically tell them make up a story as to what happened and go about their way. So I could have played it that way, but yeah, it worked. Anyway, comments? Anyone?
It's interesting to me. And the problem is, I don't know. I have an appropriate background simply because I've read a lot of the stuff. I don't know if the others.
Nope.
Yeah.
No idea who half these people are.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, I'm vaguely familiar, but it's a case of they're people. It depends on, if he's not a criminal or anything, otherwise he wouldn't be in the papers and whatnot.
Depends on what you mean by criminal. there were the railroad wars, so, the heads of the railroad companies aren't... They're kind of like kings. It's like we just met.
They're literally rail barons, and he is one of them.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although many others have a lot more supposedly despicable characters than he does.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's still like meeting a duke or yes. a king, and even if he's mostly moral, he's still immoral some of the time. I mean, it's one of those things where... you're an ant and you're crawling across this little thing, and if he wants to swat you, you die, and there's not much you can do about it, because...
Tread carefully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that whole thing where not simply just a man who can kill you, a man who can make your life worse than...
You guys can't see the Marshall's Handbook, can you?
No, it's not in our library.
No, we can't.
Okay, just wondering. They actually have all the barons out, and Hellstrom's got something like 12 edges. Okay, so again, yeah, that's a comment about having him show up, and anyone else with a comment? Suggestion? Criticism? Anything, just so that I can kind of get on board with... I'm still kind of getting the feel of the software and the flavor of the game, so I'm still kind of working on that.
I personally don't mind encountering some of the big boys or the big players as such, big name to people. A lot of it depends on the feel of the campaign and whether or not the players, due to the nature of them, are like catalysts or and thus, yeah. It's Deadlands always struck me as a fairly pulpy game anyway, and pulp heroes and stuff do suddenly run into the president or encounter somebody big and powerful, and that's the nature of pulp.
I don't mind it. It doesn't have the impact it should when you go to meet a dude and it's just, hey, he's a guy, rather than...
Well, I will say that in this module, just about every major character shows up at some point or another. They're all here. It's because this the whole thing actually happens in the timeline. Like, they let you play through the flood, right? But in their canon, right, a specific sequence of events actually do happen. And also all the major players are kind of the epicenter of this. So it all leads up to a major event that's already in canon. Which was a kind of a criticism about the original Deadlands to begin with, is players often thought that it didn't really matter what their characters did because they already had it hashed out from beginning to end exactly what happens in canon. Yeah. You know, and the fact that no matter what the PCs do, you are doomed to fail. That's the whole point of the next game was Hell on Earth. You failed. I mean, that's, you know, so that was a big criticism of the original game.
But then that's like Call of Cthulhu and other things like that anyway.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, you're small people dealing with big things, and while you can make little differences, you're not necessarily going to make a huge difference to the events. You're playing through history as
yes,
such.
Yes,
a majority of the, well, a lot of the Call of Cthulhu things are one-shots, though.
True,
And in a campaign, you'll expect to have a bigger impact than in a one-shot.
Mm-hmm. Your voice is up there, Richard, do you have anything to say so far about anything?
Not initially. I'm still getting back used to the system. None of us used, well, I think two chips were spent when we should have been spending more of them, because
you guys got lots of chips. I was handing out chips a lot.
Yeah. Never even thought to use them. I just wasn't
I kept attention. Again.
Same with the cards and all that. It's still just learning our characters and getting back into the flow of it.
I used some.
Jamis, you got anything?
No, not really. it's like with Richard, just sort of getting used to the system and stuff and trying to remember what it all does. I was annoyed that I couldn't get the picture to work. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with the game.
Sharon, are you there? Do you have anything?
She's not there.
Oh, is she already logged out?
She
fell off or logged out or something.
Okay.
Oh.
All
right.
Yeah.
Oh. I did just think of something else.
Mm-hmm.
When I encountered the lizard people, or whatever they are, I mean, they're not normal. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering whether that should have been...
The monsters that matter, as far as it causing a reaction, all have the fear attribute. These apparently weren't big and bad enough to cause fear, so they didn't have the special ability.
Okay. Interesting.
They essentially are scary snakes. I mean, you know, they're a little odd, but it's not terrifying.
The scary snakes that lay eggs would be paralyzed and then eat from the inside.
Mm-hmm. There's lots of things like that in the Weird West.
Yeah.
Combat. Yep. I would. While we're learning the system, I particularly don't mind. I roll dice, he dies. But I do like it a little bit more. Even if you turn it over to the PCs and ask us, you know, what happened here or whatnot.
How did you take him out?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Giving you narrative control over what happened with that. That's fine. I will note that. Something we kind of got in and out of the habit of during SSM.
Yeah.
It kind of came and comes and goes.
Yes. It's a phantom limb. Let's see. Yeah. That was pretty much it. Although I look forward to seeing how we screw this up, because we are over our heads. Oh, and a clearer mission to begin with, because it was kind of a weird.
Oh, well, here. let me tell you about that. The actual setup in the book is you're all unrelated strangers that are on the train. And I definitely did not want to go with that, because the point being, I wanted you guys to have a reason to be together and to do things. And the idea is with the Van Doren is.
You all meet in the tavern car.
Yeah. Yep.
This is how the PCs become to know each other.
Right.
They are the sole survivors of a train wreck.
And that is how it's set up in the book. As they say that you've already been on the train for a couple of weeks, and so at the beginning you let the characters talk to each other and learn a little bit about each other before it all wrecks and everyone else dies. That's never worked well for me in games. That's why specifically I wanted people to build characters that had links to one another, that you already knew each other's foibles. You already knew what you were in for, being in a party with this person. And as far as the weakness of the link with the Van Dorens, it was actually meant to be that way, because he knows precious little about the weirdness of the Weird West. And there aren't a lot of you guys that have shown that you could stand up to things that cause fear. So he's using you to go and learn.
Okay, I got you. It was just... I do understand that our mission is a little bit open-ended, and therefore it allows the PCs a little bit more control and at the same time.
Well, once we get to the next part, there will be a definite, I mean, you're given a mission, a pretty good direction to go in. Now, having said that, that's the plot point campaign in the book, which is, it's enough for quite a few adventures, but you've also got charts where there are interlude scenes that can become like a whole night's worth of gaming in its own. And then there's a lot to explore. I mean, exploring Shanfan, getting into Lost Angels. I mean, there's a lot more you can do outside of just what's in the plot point.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to Grim. Grim does not strike me as a guy I want to get to know. Actually, I would rather spend time with Helmsher. Grim does not sound like a fun guy.
Not your type of Bible thumping.
I'm not too sure he's thumping the Bible, apparently, from the description. It's kind of... Yeah, sure. Church? Yeah, that sounds great. I'm a believer in something.
You're the only one, Nick, that really knows much about the background, but do you know the full story, or do you not know the full story?
I know what was in the... I know what was in the player's guides and the flood. I do not know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, then there's... Okay. Yep. Okay.
I run Los Angeles, and I'm a creepy, creepy guy. Also, birder? Meh, don't care. But you screw with me, I will hit you. I does not sound like a happy person.
Perfectly happy. All right. Well, I guess we'll call this into this recording. Probably going to edit out a lot of the chatting, but... Yep, I just wanted to know what your initial thoughts were, if it was still something you wanted to continue,
I'm still
in answer to that question, yes.
Okay. while I've got you on here, the next day we would be scheduled to do this on is the 20th, but Jameis, you're not going to be able to do it on the 20th?
No, there's a thing I was looking at, but it's pretty much not being as exciting as it was promising to be, in these other complications. So I'll be here.
Okay. I am running an event for a Monkey Con on the 20th, but it will end before Deadlands. So we should be on for the 20th.
That's my labor weekend, so I'm gonna have a bit of a long weekend.
Nice.
Alright guys, everybody put their XP in for their characters.
Done.
Yes. I thought you were going to, James was going to test this thing.
No, I'm going to leave it open. I just wanted to make sure everybody had got theirs.
When I tried connecting before and it just disconnected me, so I don't know if it was the host was down. I thought you turned it off.
No, it's still up. It's still up.
Well, for some reason it dropped me.
I could have been moving something around when you tried to connect. But anyway, I'll test it with you, James, if you want to stay on a bit after, if you already reinstalled.
I am in the middle of doing all the updating.
Okay. Well, just let me know when it's updated. For the rest of you, good night, and thanks for playing. We'll see you on the 20th.
Yep.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Yep.
Bye. Anyway.
Music in this podcast is provided by Kevin MacLeod. More of his excellent music can be found at incompetech.com. We have several ways that you can comment on our show. You can send email to steamsteelmurder@gmail.com. You can join our public forums at bluemagic.com/forums. That's bluemagic, bluemagik.com. Leave us feedback on iTunes or visit obsidianportal.com and do a search for our title and find our campaign blog and more information about the show.
It is a center for higher learning. It is a place with centuries of secrets in its shadowed halls. This is where you have come to learn the mysteries of the cosmos. We are pleased to present the Miskatonic University Podcast. On our campus, you will learn the deepest secrets of the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. From rules mechanics to beings of the mythos and insanities that plague men's minds. Join us at www.mu-podcast.com.